Well, Merry Christmas. It is so good to be with you today. This is one of Candace and I's favorite podcasts as we get to sit down and look back on the year with our crew. We get to answer some fun questions. You just get to learn a little bit more about us. Before we dive in, I just want to say on behalf of Full Sail, on behalf of our team, we are just so grateful and so appreciative for the support of our families, our friends, the trust our clients have placed in us, and the continued partnership for those in our networks and our communities. We cannot do this without you. We look forward to continue serving you in the years ahead. Candace, let's jump to it. We don't need to talk anymore. Let's get to the first conversation here on the, I think I call it 18 different things, but the Full Sail Tell All Extravaganza podcast. Hope you guys enjoy. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. Well, George and Kate, thank you for joining us down here in the podcast studio for our annual year-end podcast extravaganza. So
thanks for having us.
We appreciate all you guys do for Full Sail, but let's jump in here.
Yeah, no, I love that it truly is annual. This is something that we really look forward to each and every year. And so now I'm excited to dive in with Kate. And speaking of the holiday season, what is on your 2024 Christmas wish list this year, Kate?
The one thing that I've really wanted that my husband, pretty sure that box in the back behind the tree is.
Nice. I like that you've done a little recon work already.
We've been trying to kind of reorganize our house, and currently in our office / extra bedroom, there's about three things of hand-me-down furniture, which consists of a cardboard desk, a old dining room table, and an old nightstand that we've been using as an office. And so I've asked him for a new desk that we can get organized and actually have one whole piece of furniture. I was like, we can be grown-ups.
What
that would be
practical
great.
Wish list item. That's so practical.
We're going to need a report back to see if it actually
we'll do
is
a
that.
Follow-up.
Or,
yes. Well, and then, of course, I have to add, you know, world peace.
Obviously.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's on all of our wish lists.
Okay, Miss America. George, what advice would you give to someone concerning the markets, money, savings, investing, you name it, as we enter into 2025?
Well, that's a great question. And I'm going to answer it with something that I would say every year.
Okay.
And that is something I read a long time ago, that the only way to be guaranteed the life and retirement that you deserve is to save your own money.
Mm.
And so what I would tell people is, and I used to tell this all the time at 401k meetings, save 10% of what you make, realize it's to be spent later. So that money you save, you've got to invest it wisely. You've got to use a good asset allocation. You need to have an allocation that you can maintain no matter what markets do. Mm-hmm. I think Morgan Housel calls it a sustainable allocation.
Right.
And if we can keep those things in the right amounts, stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, then you can stay in there no matter what the markets do. And we know the markets will do what we don't expect them to do.
Absolutely.
This will help us to stay in the saddle.
Okay. Great answer.
So, all right. Christmas will, before we know it, be here and gone, and the new year will be upon us. So is there a favorite tradition, Kate, that you guys have for New Year's Eve that you've done in the past that you're looking forward to doing in the future?
We kind of have an untradition, and that would be, so normally most people do black eyed peas on the first day of the new year. Unfortunately, they seem to have the opposite effect for my family for some reason. Therefore, we don't do black-eyed peas every year.
Okay.
I actually did them all growing up, and it was really funny. My husband had never heard of it before, and the first year that we did it was literally, like, the worst year we'd ever had, and he's like, it was the black-eyed peas.
Yeah. And so he was like, obviously.
It was completely the black-eyed peas. I was like, really? So kind of as a joke now, we don't do the black-eyed peas every year.
That. I might actually steal that from you. I also find that they don't work for me either. How odd.
It's weird.
If your luck's run out, maybe it's the black-eyed peas. I love that.
That's
great,
good.
Great answer.
That's amazing.
All right, George, let's end on your second question here, with which is, what's maybe a lesson you learned this year in 2024 that is shaping or guiding or directing the way you're approaching 25?
I'm going to steal something from the book that we're offering to clients this year, The Soul of Wealth. In that book, Daniel Crosby wrote a chapter about how we need to unlearn the things that we think we learned. And I don't know if you're like me, but my parents, they were trying to make a living. They weren't trying to save money for future generations. They were just trying to make a living.
Right.
And so only thing that I learned about investing, I kind of learned through osmosis. You just watch them and, you know, you kind of do what they do. But things have changed. And I think now, today, we have to unlearn all that stuff because they didn't do it right. Most of our generations before us did not invest properly like we do today. Now it's made easier. We have investment teams that can do it for us. And so I think we have to unlearn some of the things that we learned long ago and come to a better, more modern way to invest money.
I love that. It's great advice.
That is great advice. And I think it really kind of can go to so many different topics in our life. Investing, there's just so many things that we can learn that are likely going to benefit us if we unlearn those.
We have to unlearn those.
Absolutely.
You know, one other thing I want to just steal, this would be stolen from Housel. If we will unlearn those things and invest the way we can invest today, if we'll all realize that average rates of return over extended periods of time lead to incredible results. But we've been taught to chase the highest return, and that's not always the best result.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I would give you.
So great. Thank you both. Again, yes. Thank you all for everything you do for our firm. You're a vital part of the team, and we just appreciate it. So thank you again.
Thank you for what you do.
Well, Austin and Catherine, thank you for joining us down here in the podcast studio for our year-end extravaganza. Let's see what you guys have to say with our questions.
Yeah, so we're going to hit Catherine up first. I want to hear a little bit more about your Christmas list for the year. What's your number one wish for your list this year?
Well, I'd like to start with, I know what Tyler's daughter's number one wish is for this year.
Agreed.
Heidi.
Unpurchased.
Sweet, innocent little Heidi. Really, if I need to send a photo out to everyone, I'm happy to do so.
We'll make it the podcast cover photo.
Really just wants a slide to go down the stairs. I am not sure why this request has not been met yet, but I know she's on the good list, so I'm hopeful she will get it.
Santa's got to come through. Yeah. And for all of my doctor clients, I need you on standby.
My fingers are crossed.
Terrible idea. Thank you for that, Catherine.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. On my wish list, a solid night of sleep.
That's fair.
Coming from the newborn mom.
Yes.
She's not a newborn now.
Being able to like kind of sleep in.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Brian.
Yeah. Brian, if you want to listen to this
in
later.
18 more years.
In 18 I mean, more years, this might happen.
Just kidding.
Of course, then you'll be sad with maybe breakfast dropped off at the same time. You know, so I don't just have to do anything and the house is magically cleaned.
It's a great Christmas
wish list. That's my wish list.
That's solid.
That or a trip booked for a vacation for me that I did not have to plan.
Okay.
Solid. Okay.
I'm forwarding this to Brian now.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go, sir.
Unfortunately, this is going to come out right before Christmas, so.
He'll really have to scramble.
Well, it will be limited.
Let's be honest. That's when he does his shopping anyways.
Okay. We're going to move on.
When do you do your shopping?
I'm usually, I know that's shocker. I'm usually done by August, September, so.
Okay.
August, September?
Yeah, like by September. So you have all the sales, you get it all knocked out.
That late.
You leave a few things.
I'm shocked.
What? I start asking niece and nephew.
Okay, I knew you would do it early, but when you say August, September to me, I'm like, what? I'm mind blown. That's impressive.
Then I don't have to worry about it.
We're already off the rails.
But what happens if someone like changes their mind?
Well,
one day you're going to have a kid that sits on Santa's lap on December 18th and is like, I want Santa to bring me this. And you're like, I didn't buy that yet. And then you were scrambling to find that one item.
That is going to be Brian's strength. And I am going to let him hone in his skills by Brian his strength. Obviously, I mean Santa's. He has a direct line to Santa.
Santa take the wheel.
Santa will be taking the wheel in those cases.
Yes.
That's fair.
I mean, you can go into October. But then once you hit November, you don't have time. It's stressful. You got holidays to plan. Everything else is going on.
I'm still not done shopping.
Somebody will play this. Somebody's going to play this right now listening to us when it's out and they're Christmas shopping and they're going to feel so behind.
Or they're going to feel validated. Or they're going to everyone else does it.
Yeah.
Now I do buy some last minute. Like if I see something,
I think she's trying to make people feel better.
I know.
No, it's fine. Hey, you do you.
Today I was at Oil Tree, new local store. If you haven't been there, highly recommend it. And found some great little stocking stuffers that Santa's obviously going to give, not myself, but
obviously. You know. Okay, Austin, if you can follow that up, what as part of our, and I'm not giving this to you, you actually picked this question, but as part of our investment team, you have some expertise here. What advice would you give to someone concerning investing, market savings in 2025?
Well, it's not going to be as exciting as Catherine's answer, but I think just kind of talking through the way we invest, just kind of some principles off of that, I would say like the best thing to focus on in 2025 would be just controlling what you can control. There's very few things these days that are actually in your power within the markets. And a lot of times it feels like we think we have more power over them than we actually do. And so it's really just focusing on what you can actually control And with that, it is just following the evidence and don't deviate when things get hard. Stay patient, don't react emotionally, and just kind of find freedom in the plan and release kind of what you're doing, or just, yeah, find freedom in the plan.
I love it.
That you've built out, and just have the patience to see it through. There's so many examples of people who try to rush things and it usually does not end up going well. And so it's just kind of stay patient. Like our podcast name, just stay the course.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's charting the course.
Solid plug.
Stay the course, but I like it.
It's fine.
So, Catherine, I feel like you've had a pretty big 2024. What have you taken from 2024? Like, what have you learned that you think will help you approach 2025 in a better way?
For those that don't know, I now have a one-year-old, so I'm learning all the things. I also learned that almost everything you've said before you were a parent, like, that's why they laugh at you. Just, you know, oh, I will never let her into my bed. Absolutely not. Okay, sure. Okay. There, 4 a.m. last night. Okay, fine.
Pretty sure most of the pictures I see are, look at her cuddling on me.
Yeah.
You know, it happens.
She's cute. Yeah. It's fine. Probably right now, my current lesson I'm learning is that my house will not be clean and spotless all the time. I'm embracing that messy era, if you will.
It's a humbling experience.
It's very humbling. Uh-huh. Got her a great little kitchen, super cute. So maybe she would stop destroying the pots and pans in our actual kitchen. And instead, she now takes them and they are spread throughout the entire house in a 5-minute period. So then I'm chasing her and the dog for various things to put them back where they go. And we're working on it.
You don't need to work out anymore. You just chase the dog and the baby.
Chase the dog and the baby. It's great. Kind of like her bookcase that looks beautiful. When all the books are perfectly lined up, you know, in height order and, you know, they look lovely. And now she loves to destroy and take every single book off the shelf and spread them all over her floor. So if you have to walk in at some point, you're probably going to slip on one. But all that to say, it's being in the moment and enjoying the time with her and not stressing about it being spotless and learning to be a little more go with the flow.
Oh, even saying that.
Guys,
that was you okay? You need a water?
There's veins popping right now. Yeah, too bad we don't do video.
I love that. I love that. I think it is a big lesson, and it tends to kind of soften our heart in a way that allows us to be a little bit more present. So I love
so
that.
So good. So good, Catherine. Austin, let's wrap up with this. What is your favorite New Year's Eve tradition, past, present, or something you would like to start doing?
My favorite New Year's Eve tradition has got to be board games. Love all the board games. If we had an hour-long podcast, we could go into all of them, but Catan, Ticket to Ride.
All of those are fantastic.
Sheriff of Nottingham, yeah. Dominion.
I'll book the room for a discussion on this.
I know. but love all the board games. Super fun. Just being able to hang out and relax and just not be competitive or be competitive. I don't know.
Whatever.
One of the
always
two.
Always competitive. Yeah.
It's just for fun unless you lose.
Perfect.
Love that.
It. You guys, thank you so much for the time. And thank you both for everything you do for our team. Just across the board, you're extremely vital to your teams, but then also the overall firm as a whole. So we appreciate it.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Jordan and Sam, it is a pleasure to have you guys down in the podcast studio with us for the year-end podcast Tell All.
Yes. Yay. And shout out to Sam. Happy first to one.
Yeah, Sam, it is just an honor. You are our newest member. So most of our new members, this is their first podcast.
Yeah.
But you are here now. We appreciate it. I'm just going to start with you. Sam, as part of our investment team, picked this, shocker, but I was going to give this one to you anyway, our finance question. What advice would you give to somebody concerning markets, money, finances as we go into 2025?
Yeah, so I actually kind of went a little more behavioral economics.
Oh, I love it.
Love
kind
it.
Of route. So something I really find important to learn about and apply is sunk costs. So let's say, for those who don't know what a sunk cost is, let's say you invest in a stock, it goes down by 50%, and you do some research and you find you have two options. You could either hold the stock and you'd expect a 7% return, or you sell the stock and get a different one, you expect a 10% return. Well, it's kind of an obvious choice, take
right.
the 10% return. But for a lot of people, it's difficult to part ways with that original stock. You want to hold it, you want to quote unquote make your money back, but really the only consideration is what's ahead of you. It's the 10%. It's an easy choice, but behaviorally it's difficult. I think this actually applies to our lives pretty well too. I've started to when I'm trying to make a big decision, I do my best to mentally just like delete what's happened prior to the point. Just be like, what's in front of me? Like, what are the options?
I like that.
It does not matter what's happened before. Now, can't do this in every scenario, but sometimes it really helps. So a good example is throughout college, I was pretty much dead set on going into real estate private equity as a career.
Okay.
I did 3 internships in it. I got certifications, built a strong network. Then I met Tyler here.
And turned your world upside down.
Yep.
I apologize to your family who's listening to this.
And eventually met the Full Sail crew. And I was pretty unfamiliar with the wealth management industry, but I tried to use this mindset of ignoring sunk costs to try something new and think about something new. And it was tempting to think, well, I've put so much work into kind of getting into this, you know, hard to get into space in real estate private equity. It was attractive to me, but that is the sunk cost fallacy. That was me just holding on to the work I'd put in. But really all that matters is what's in front of you. And I had in front of me this amazing opportunity to work for an amazing firm, meet some great people, and learn a whole new valuable skill set. And since then, I've fallen in love with portfolio management, and working here has been an incredible experience. And I even sat for my CFA Level 1 exam recently, which a year ago, I didn't think my life would look like this at all. And I love it.
You're in Oklahoma.
I'm in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love it. So that's kind of my little take on sunk costs, like kind of a more economic behavioral thing. And I think it helps to think about things that way.
I love it. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to switch gears. I'm going to kick it over to Jordan. I want to hear about a favorite New Year's Eve tradition that you've done historically that you're looking forward to, or maybe something new that you'd like to do in the future.
Well, as many of you know, I am an early riser, so that means I go to bed really early. And every year for the past 5 or so years, I have made sure that I'm in bed by midnight. And so that's kind of become my new thing. But over those 5 years, one of my really great new friends, our moms were in the same like junior league group together. And so they make a cookbook every year. And so we decided that we would make a dish from the cookbook. So every New Year's Eve, I go to her house and we make chicken marsala. We have some champagne and toast to the new year and the new comings. And then I go home and go to bed before midnight.
That's perfect. Good food and lots of rest.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
That's awesome.
Okay. Well, then I think that kind of goes into our next question for both of you guys. I'd love to hear more about what you're going to take away from 2024 as you're going to go into 2025.
2024, honestly, was a pretty big year for me. I graduated from BYU. I got married, started here at Full Sail. Lots of change. And it got me thinking about my last couple semesters in college. I found myself sort of waiting, once I graduate, once I get married, once I'm done studying, once I'm back in Oklahoma, because I grew up here and went to school in Utah, I knew I was going to be content at the end of all that. And so found myself going, I was there. I was married. I was back here in Oklahoma. Started a great job that I love and started studying for the CFA. And I was like, well, once I get done with these tests, then I'll be where I want to be.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, then I can be content. And really, I just had to work on over these last few months, like reflecting and thinking like, I don't want to live in the future. And I found myself doing that. I kept doing that. As soon as I, accomplished something, I would just think about the next thing and moving the goalpost. And so going into 2025, I really... I've been working on it over these few months. It's just trying to live for the present and being happy where I am, and having gratitude for what's around me right now. And I want to take that into 2025. And I encourage anyone who's listening to try to do the same, because you don't want to live in the future. You want to live
that.
In the present.
There's a lot of nodding in the room right now. Yeah. I feel like this really resonates.
Well, I think Jordan wishes she went first now.
Yeah, I do.
Did I steal it?
Well, here at Full Sail Capital, thank God we all have the same mindset. That's great.
Hive mind.
Yes. I will say I definitely agree. 2024 was a very big year for me. I got engaged. I am in the midst of planning a wedding that is coming soon. And I have found myself just looking for that next thing. Once this wedding's over, like I won't be, under any, you know, stress that's added or anything like that, or trying to find a florist or trying to find rentals. And then, you know, after you have a wedding, what's next? Is it building a house, building a family, you know, just keep building on to something.
Checking the boxes.
But
yep.
I have, like Sam mentioned, I've really tried to practice cherishing the every moment that I'm in this season, because this is a very short season. And I think all of us can agree that we cannot believe it's already Christmas. And this year has gone by so fast. And just making sure and being mindful that you never know what tomorrow's going to bring. And so having gratitude for today and cherishing time with friends and family. And yeah, there's new stuff on the horizon, but being grateful for where you are in the moment.
I love that.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Good
I think
people.
That's great.
Jordan and Sam, thank you both for everything you do for Full Cell. You guys are extremely, extremely important parts of the team, and we are just grateful to have you on board. So thank you for the time down here, and have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Hey,
Merry Christmas.
Well, Blake, Max, thank you guys for joining us down here for the Tell All Holiday Edition of Full Cell Capital. Thank you for joining us. It's good to see you guys. We're going to jump right in here with the first question off the top to Miss Blake.
Yeah. So Blake, we are wanting to hear more about your favorite New Year's Eve traditions, either something that you've done in the past, something you'd like to do in the future. What you got?
So as a kid, I'm obviously going past here because now the tradition is being in bed and
perfect.
Sleeping. And that's my favorite way to ring in the new year now. But as a kid, we would always go over to a friend's house and, you know, just hang out until, you know, as a kid, it feels like forever that you're waiting. Yeah. And then my friend's parents, I don't know how this tradition started. I think they did it as kids. But when the New Year is here, you run outside. We would all grab pots and pans from the kitchen, and you would like choose your weapons of choice.
Instrument. Your instrument of choice. Got
and
it.
And you would just like run around the neighborhood.
Banging.
And saying, Happy New Year.
But your neighbors
and,
loved you.
Well, to be fair, it was my friend's neighbors.
That's fair. You didn't live in the neighborhood, so it was
so
fine.
I had nothing to lose.
Yeah,
here.
You're like, and we got to leave after that, so no one cared.
And then we went home. But yeah, I don't know.
That's so fun.
I don't remember how that started, but.
What a fun memory.
Yeah, that was what we always did. And as a kid, we just thought that was the best.
I wish your pups could do that now. Like, I feel like if your pups could bang some pans together, I think maybe you'd stay up till midnight.
Yeah, they definitely would.
Oh, I love it. Okay, Max, on a finance-related note, what advice, as you look out into 2025 in regard to markets, money, savings, investings, et cetera, what advice would you give someone as they go into the new year?
So we've talked a lot about Dr. Crosby's new book, Soul of Wealth, this year. And Dr. Crosby's been on the podcast for the second time now. So I'm just going to steal one of his little nuggets.
Nice.
It's actually a title to his chapter in his book, but something that I've preached for years. Not being dumb beats being brilliant. We say often here that boring is beautiful.
Yeah.
And
I love that.
That will apply again in 2025 and for the foreseeable future. So what does that mean? You don't need to hit home runs when it comes to investing. If you're a long-term investor, it's doing the basics. It's creating an emergency fund. It's contributing to your retirement plan through your employer or an IRA. It is determining if you need life insurance. We prefer term insurance around here. It is doing the basic steps day in and day out and hitting singles, if you prefer sports analogies over, yes.
Love a sports analogy.
There's going to be plenty of noise out there in 2025. I feel like we say that at the end of every year going into the following year, whether it's an election year or not. These principles have stood the test of time. So we're going to keep advising that.
Love it.
I love that. I think that's kind of a common theme right now, the staying the course. I love that. Okay, so Blake, little Christmas fun. What is on your wish list this year for 2024?
I asked for exactly one thing.
And one thing only.
And one thing only.
I did ask
multiple times
for
this one thing. And I, our coworker, Jordan, she has one of those little calendars on her desk where you tear off each day. And I think hers has
the
like a...
Hers are life hacks.
Yes.
Life hacks.
Which we love. So I saw this, but instead of life hacks, it is Taylor Swift lyrics.
Oh.
For 365 days?
Do you know how many songs she has?
All Too Well can cover that, the 10-minute version. I mean, at least the first 6 months.
Yeah. So, not going to lie, I did see this on TikTok.
TikTok shop for the win.
And wow. That's how I discovered this was a thing. But I just feel like that would bring me so much joy every day to come into work and get to see. And Candace, I think that you would appreciate that as well.
I would walk in every single day and I would hear the lyric and then we would sing a few more bars, obviously.
Yeah.
I think that would be great. I think that's an office-wide present, really.
Yeah. And I grew up with Taylor Swift. She's a couple years older than me. So I feel like every phase she's been in has reminded
era,
me.
If you will.
Every era. Oh my gosh.
Clarifying question. When you say you grew up with, was she one of the neighbors you're running around with banging pots and pans? Yeah. Or you just grew up with her music?
Grew up with her music.
Because that's something we need to know. Okay.
We are besties.
It felt like we were besties, but yeah. No, I've never met her. And but no, I just grew up with her music.
Gotcha.
What a fun gift.
It'd be amazing if Blake just sat on that piece of information this whole time. None of us knew.
Yeah.
Did you guys not know that?
Halfway through a podcast and Blake just drops his knowledge. Yeah.
I'm like, and we've been trying to find people for client events. How have you not brought Taylor
up? Let me FaceTime her right now.
Max, your final question is it's an all the feels category. So what is a lesson learned in 2024 that is now shaping how you're approaching the new year of 2025?
So the short answer is being present. I lost my stepdad in January, and one of the things I admired about him the most is no matter what he was doing, he had success professionally, personally, but if you were with him and you were having a conversation with him, you had his undivided attention. You had eye contact. There was nothing else going on. He was just with you in whatever it is you wanted to talk about for however long. I admire that greatly. And while I knew that to be true, it's just really hit me even more this year and something I'll apply moving forward.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's been a theme for
to be present.
For conversations before you guys and after you guys. Yeah,
being present. But that's like a new facet of it. Like I do think in the world that we live in, it's so easy to get caught up with distraction, even when you're trying to spend quality time with someone, whether it be a family member or a friend. And so I think that's such a great reminder to just be present, to be there, and to give that attention to the person you're around.
So good.
So you're saying this podcast is going to have 5 different ways to explain how to be present.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's a theme throughout.
Right.
Or how to be Taylor's bestie.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, we really, such a wide array, guys.
Blake and Max, we do really appreciate everything you guys do for Full Sail and the team. You are just so important to just the day-to-day operations of this place. So we really appreciate it. Wishing you both and your families a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk again
soon.
Thank you.
Hunter, Scott, thank you guys for joining us. It's always a pleasure. Hunter, we just found out that this is your first time on the podcast. So welcome.
It's about
time.
Good to be here.
About time. Scott, I'm going to kick it to you first for your first question. And that's our finance related question. What advice would you give to someone concerning markets, investing, savings as we move forward into 2025?
So I had a chance to think about this because you gave me, a little pre-warning, which is good. So I thought about this year reminds me of 2021. Clients were, they had a lot of exuberance. They felt really great about what had happened. They'd had the blessing of a year where the market did essentially nothing but go up. At least that's the way it felt. And this year feels a lot the same way. 2022 wasn't as kind. We all remember that. Clients maybe don't, or people have already started to forget how that felt. But the market was down the following year. And I watched a lot of behavior where clients would stop making ongoing contributions to their account. They would start to behave differently because the market behaved differently.
It's true.
And I think clients who didn't do that received the benefit and the reward of 2023 and 2024. So as I think about 25, I'm not saying that the market's going to go down. Nobody knows what's going to happen there. But I think there is a chance that we don't get what we got this year.
Right.
And I just want to remind people that sticking to their plan, following through when it's not as comfortable or when the market isn't quite as generous is just as important as doing it when the market is.
Yeah.
And that's a part of building out a longer term plan than it is living in the moment of whatever 2025 may deliver us.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
I love that. All right, Hunter, for your first question on the pod, we're going to have a little fun and I want to hear what your you know, what your 2024 Christmas wish is. What's on your wish list?
So this is very fun. So my Christmas wish this year is for a lithium jump starter for my truck.
That's exactly what I thought it was going
to
be.
I know. Sure. It's very fun. So what happens, when you start to have kids? Recently, I went to start up my vehicle and the battery was dead.
Well, that's fun.
Right. So I get in the back seat where I always keep my jumper cables. Well, they weren't there, of course. So dead truck, no jumper cables. And I thought, I'm going to have to figure something out. So my neighbor actually had one of these because we used it in the summer. And so I got on Amazon and on Black Friday, ordered it myself.
You literally ordered your wish list item.
I fulfilled my own.
Do you understand how Christmas works?
Santa's like, what am I supposed to do now, Hunter?
Still haven't figured it out.
Meredith, we will help Hunter next year with this.
Yeah.
The whole giving you the idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
All right, Meredith.
So, you know, 25% off. Already got it. Charged it up. I think it can do like 10 starts on my truck. So I'll just keep it in there. Don't have to have another vehicle with
That's
me.
That's exciting.
Now, if Meredith does listen to this,
oh,
my second wish is for a pair of jeans.
Oh.
You're one.
Just one pair of jeans.
Okay. Good.
Hunter's a simple man. He wants a running truck and a pair of jeans.
That's all. I need another pair.
That's the American dream.
It's a reasonable list.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I don't, Scott, if you can top that.
good luck.
No, Scott, give us a favorite New Year's Eve tradition, past or present, something you enjoy doing New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
Yeah, well, there's an obvious answer if you think about past, just the traditional thing you do at New Year's, you know, you watch the ball drop and yada, yada. That's fine.
Yeah.
I think my favorite tradition is something we started a few years ago here, Full Sail, which is every, the last trading day of the year. In this case, it will be New Year's Eve, which is cool. We get together at 3 o'clock when the market closes and we toast the year. We toasted it in 2021, 22, when it wasn't great. 23 and 24. It's not that you're toasting what happened in the market. It's just a reflection as a team on we got through it. We did it one way or another. And I think it's fun to all gather downstairs and, you know, we all pour a glass of champagne and toast each other and our clients and our friends and just think about it and then have a chance to reflect on all the things that made the year special, maybe made it difficult. And that's a really fun thing we started doing. I look forward to it every year.
That's great. Great
that
answer.
Special.
That's awesome.
I love that as well. Okay. So Hunter, thinking back to 2024, what lesson did you learn this past year that you're going to take into 2025 with you?
That's a good one. So I started here in January. So it's my, you know, kind of had a full calendar year with Full Sail, which was great. And being an election year, right? I mean, everybody had their news on. We were seeing things every day. And something I think that I learned through here is the day-to-day, although we can get caught up in it, we're really looking, we're looking for our clients and for ourselves at a long-term picture, the long-term scoreboard. And if you want to watch the news, that's great, but I just wouldn't read too much into it. You know, get your information from different sources, not from, right, CNBC on the nightly market news every day and have that, you know, what you're thinking about going to bed or waking up in the morning. It's hard to time the market, which is, you know, something that we just don't believe in here and doesn't align with our philosophy. So just keep a disciplined long-term approach and just think about it that way, you know, and have a team around you that's going to be there as a sounding board and go through those ups and downs with you and that's really invested in your long-term success. So that's
great.
That's a lesson that I learned from 2020.
I love that. For sure. And the heart of Full Sail shines with that question because staying the course and being disciplined, that's really ringing true. Mm-hmm. So I love hearing that we're all very much collectively on that page.
Cheers to you being here almost a year too.
Yeah.
Thank you. Cheers. Thank you very much.
Happy almost workiversary. It's coming up.
Yeah, we're almost 4 weeks away. January 16th.
There it is.
Awesome. Yep. Well, Hunter, we sure have been thrilled to have you on the team and thank you for all you've just immediately stepped in and started doing. So we appreciate that. And Scott, we continue to thank you for all you do for the firm and moving us forward. And the next 10 years of Full Sail is going to look really cool. We're excited. But thank you both for joining us. We appreciate it.
Happy holidays.
Have a wonderful Christmas and New Year.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy holidays.
David, Kyle, thank you guys for joining us. You guys are up in the hot seat for our year-end podcast extravaganza. We are going to start here with Kyle. So Candace, I'll kick it to you and we'll get Kyle's first extremely smart answer here on the air.
Absolutely. Well, Kyle, we do want to talk a little finance. I know it's the holidays, but we'd love to hear your thoughts and advice on what you would tell someone concerning markets and savings and investing in 2025, kind of like where you see that going.
Sure. I would say the last few years has felt, as an investor, both in the stock and bond market, pretty easy. You probably made money anywhere that you've invested. And my advice would be that, and I'm not calling for a market going down or anything like that, but just if things get rocky, to just continue to stay disciplined to your strategy and what you've kind of laid out for your savings and investing plan, not to get too moved by what's going on, but just to stay disciplined to what the long-term plan is.
Nice.
So good. Okay, David. So I'm going to kind of lump two together here. One being the finance, but one also just being general lessons learned. And so as you think back and look back on this year of 2024 from a market perspective, investing perspective, but also just maybe life lessons learned, what are you looking forward to in 25? What advice would you have for someone listening as they look out to, you know, positively affect change in their lives?
Yeah, that's kind of loaded.
I know.
But I will say this.
You got this.
The one thing that I really learned this year, which I also, you know, I'm going to be 60 next year. So what I'm trying to stay young. I don't want to be the guy that just, you know, eventually smells bad and is in the corner of a room, right? And no one talks to him. One of my grandsons plays on a traveling baseball team, and I learned the term drip.
Yes. This year.
He goes, and then my grandkids call me Saba. They go, and I go, hey, man, what do you have that big glove hanging out of your back pocket and all this
sliding mitt?
Yeah, I was like, it looked like something you put on the driver in your golf bag. And I'm like, you're running around with it. It looks like you crapped your pants. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this kid looks at me. He goes, Saba, my drip, bro. And I was like.
Did he say bro? Because I'll get that sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not your bro. I'm
and your dad. I had to remind him I'm okay to kind of be his bro.
I'd love it.
Because I can send them home after we.
Right.
Right.
If my kid did that with me, it would be a problem. But he said that. And I said, your drip. And he goes, it's my style. And I was like, okay. So
what,
word.
What's your, so you have word. A new word, but what's your drip?
Well, I don't know yet. My drip all is connected to Kim Stanley. Because she's the
she's
one.
Drip.
If I have any drip, if I have any drip, she's the one that puts it together. Because I would have different colors on. I looked down once a couple weeks ago. She didn't dress me, and I had two different colors of socks on. It was terrible.
Yeah, like that wasn't. Oh, yeah,
it wasn't a good look.
You're a smart man. Smart man.
Immediately went to the sockless look. On finance, I would just say, I'd follow up with Kyle and just say, and I've been doing this a long time, and it just never ceases to amaze me that really no one knows what's going to happen. Can say, well, this factor, we all have, but those factors change every day. And it's just the past 2 years, to Kyle's point, have confirmed to me, you just don't know, because who would have thought the markets would be up 27% plus both years after 22 when it was brutal. So again, discipline, that humility and discipline just makes you money over a long period of time. So it reinforced that to me.
So good. Thank you.
I love that. All right. So just to end on a festive note, Kyle, what's on your wish list this year for Christmas?
I don't know if this is going to be festive. Well, I think it's positive.
We've had some funny ones.
I think it's public knowledge that we're expecting a kid. So I'm just asking for a healthy baby and a healthy Amen. Wife, which hasn't been the case
Amen.
So far.
Man,
so
in the past
That's the
three
sweetest.
Months, we've broken. We're like a breaking news organization. We broke Austin's engagement
yep.
prior to him getting engaged.
Yep.
And now we're breaking news to the whole public listening audience that Kyle Ray is going to be a dad.
Yeah, big year for 2025
Shout
for you,
out
Kyle.
To Kyle and
so
I love that.
I'm just hoping for a happy wife and a happy baby.
There you go.
And healthy.
No, I love that. I love the thoughts of, you know, reflecting on 24 and going in 25 and discipline and health and all of it. I love that. Thank you, guys.
It's so good. And seriously, as we end here, thank you both for all you do. You both are extremely instrumental to the success of this place, and we could not do this without either of you. So thank you both. I hope you and your families have a wonderful Christmas season and a happy new year.
Very same to you. And I'm so thankful for the quality that you produce all of our content with. It's amazing.
We do our best. Thank you, guys. Well, Zach and Kaylee, thank you for joining us here on the podcast as we reflect on 2024 and look ahead to 2025. We are so appreciative of everything you guys do. But let's start here with, we're going to go holiday theme, aren't we, Candace?
Yeah, we're going to have a little fun. I would love to hear what you both have on your 2024 Christmas wish list. Kaylee, what you got?
So my Christmas gift came a little early this year. I convinced my husband, Paul, to let me get a second dog. So we adopted a six-year-old Chihuahua. His name is Muffin. He came from the Humane Society. Great place to get an animal if anyone's looking. He is 2.5 pounds and he is perfect.
So teeny tiny.
It's about the size of an actual muffin.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, he may be more of like a stocking stuffer size-wise, but okay. I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, I love that.
Good job, Paul.
Yeah, nice job, Paul. Way to give in. Just kidding. All right, Zach, what you got?
Yeah, well, we've established in the past I'm a terrible gift giver.
Yes.
Yes.
That is accurate.
Infamously, I once gave my wife a pillowcase for Christmas.
And a remote, right?
And a remote. Thank you for remembering that. So I've shamed myself previously on this podcast. I'm not great at like thinking about what I want either. I will say there are a couple things. So one is a new pair of skis because I really like skiing. Nice. I need to get some skis, some new ones. But along with Kaylee, my kids are really after me to get a dog. We've had dogs in the past. We sadly had to put them down a couple of years ago. So we've been dog free for a while. So every day when I go home, it's conversation about what dog should we get? Where should we get it from? We've talked about doing a rescue. So I don't think, sorry, kids, if you're listening, I don't think it's going to happen Christmas morning, but
it's on the list.
It's on the wish list for sure.
Aww.
I love that.
There's just something about Christmas and a dog. Like just, I love that.
I may put a dog in a pillowcase and see how that goes.
With a remote?
Yeah.
You could go wrong so quickly.
You'll have to keep us updated.
Yeah.
Maybe
you'll hear about it.
The first squared away, we'll get an update.
Yeah, a pup update.
Okay, so Zach, back to you. Let's do, what is your favorite or fondest New Year's Eve tradition in the past? Something you've started to do, something you're looking forward to doing?
I love New Year's generally. I love the thought of new beginnings and all that. My favorite tradition that we've done with all of you guys is, I can't remember how many years ago, but we decided, I think it was during COVID, because there were just a couple of us around as the market was closing on probably 2020. I said, whoever's here, let's go downstairs, let's pour a drink and toast to ending what was a very wild year of 2020. And it's a tradition that we have continued. And so now everyone kind of looks forward to watching the stock market close at 3 o'clock Central Time at the last day of the year. And we give a little toast. And I think it's great. I think it's a fun little tradition we do. I love doing the same with my wife. We toast at the end of the year when the clock strikes midnight, have a little kiss. And my favorite holiday song is Auld Lang Syne. It's just, it's the best. I love it.
Very nostalgic. Yeah. I love that. What a good feel.
Great answer.
Awesome. Okay. So as we talk about the closing of 2024, Kaylee, what lessons, what have you learned? What will you take away and kind of put into work in 2025?
Yeah. For 2024, I believe it's John Lennon. There's a quote that life is what happens to you when you're busy making other plans. And I think that 2024 was a big year for that. And I think that just really showed that all you can do your best, put your faith in the people that you know will take care of you, and just roll with the punches. You know, a lot of times it can turn out even better than you planned, but you just have to go with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Well put.
Yeah.
Great answer. There's been some really good thoughts on all that one.
That's been a good
question.
One.
Yeah. So perfect.
Definitely all the
great
feels.
Answer. Guys, thank you so much. Just thank you both for all you do for Full Sail and the firm and the team. You guys are just vital in both your departments, we'll call it. But just as a whole, we just appreciate everything you guys bring to the table. So thank you. Hope you and your families have a wonderful holiday. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All the jazz. So
thank you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Candace, we made it through the entire team.
I know. Another year in the books.
That was a blast.
I know. It's one of my favorite podcasts that we do.
It's it might continue to get longer and longer. That's okay. We'll figure it out. We might get to the point where you have one word answers instead of 1 minute answers.
Exactly. Well, I love it. We had two new folks on the podcast that had never been. Hunter and Sam got to kind of find their way. And so that's fun.
So fun. I sure enjoy it. We have such an incredible team. And so I just am so glad that everybody kind of has a chance to hear from him. People that you may not talk to every day. Maybe your advisor is Scott, but you don't get to hear from everybody else that much. Or maybe you work more so with Hunter, and just getting to hear from everybody, I think is really fun. So
yeah, I agree. A little behind the curtain.
I know. And it was really interesting to hear of some common themes. You know, we don't, Candace and I sent these questions out and everybody got to pick which one they wanted. And then they, of course, came up with their own answer. And it was fascinating.
It was fascinating to hear that. I think it really kind of showed the heart of Full Sail as a team. I mean, we're very much on the same page when we take the approach of clients and how we take care of things and just kind of our focuses and so, and our philosophy. So it was really fun to hear.
Everybody, you know, we're all different, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we're really working toward a common goal. And I think, I think that comes out. So I hope it does for you guys. But okay, it's our turn. So because we've talked enough on the podcast, we're going to pick one question. Candace, I'm going to give you, what is your family's favorite New Year's Eve tradition, past or present?
Okay, so we started it about 4, maybe 5 years ago, probably 4. But it's not New Year's Eve necessarily, but it's New Year's Day.
Oh.
Our New Year's Eves are very low-key. Yeah. We're at home. We have lots of kiddos. Sometimes a friend will come over or things like that.
You don't take the 5 kids clubbing?
Absolutely. You know, no. And so we keep it pretty low key because the next day we open our doors at about 10 a.m. and we have just food set out everywhere and we just open it to all of our friends and family.
Oh.
So if they want to come in, it's a come and go. It's kind of a touch point. It's a busy time of year, so we don't always get to see everybody. We have football on and it usually lasts from like 10 until about 8 that night, and people come and go and sit and talk, and you know, it's a lot of good fellowship and community, and we don't always get to do it. And so it's a fun day.
I love that. I feel like I'm gonna sound like an old man, but society is so closed doors these days.
Yeah.
And I love that, the actual act of opening doors. Hey, come by, come hang out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I love that.
Okay, so I'm going to turn the mic to you now to end it for us. What is a lesson that you learned in 2024 that is shaping how you are going to go into 2025?
Oh, man. This is one that I've loved hearing the answers on. And we've heard the theme with people talking about being present, being intentional, you know, not trying to think so much about tomorrow, but living in the day. And intentionality is definitely a big one. 2024 was a really heavy year. We lost my father-in-law. We also lost a kind of a titan in the philanthropy world in Frank Merrick. And there's just been a lot of other things in my wife and I circle that's just been heavy. And so it's just been a reminder of being thankful for what you have and just the thought of gratitude every day. We're not guaranteed tomorrow and to not rush it. Like we just get so sped up and it's just, it was a big, good reminder. And I still have to remind myself, but that's definitely one of just intentionality and gratitude. And one thing Brittany's dad, Brian, always said, and I can end with this, is he just said, be where your feet are. So wherever you find yourself, you know, be there, be present. You never know what could happen if you're paying attention to where you are.
I love that.
Well, we are so appreciative of all of our listeners, all of our clients. We are so thankful to wrap up another year here at Full Sail, year number 6, which is just incredible.
Yeah.
We are excited to start year 7. We are so grateful for our clients, our friends, our network partners that have helped us along the way. If you ever want to have a conversation with anybody on our team about what we do and how we do it, if you would like to send a friend or a family member over to us, we'd be more than happy to have a conversation. Because what I hope you've seen is that we have a team full of people that are dedicated to taking care of clients, taking care of family, and truly stewarding and serving that generational wealth. So
absolutely.
We are here to help. But any closing thoughts, Candace, as we wrap?
I just want to say thank you to everyone. We love what we do here. We love sharing that with the people outside of these walls. Mm-hmm. And we love it when you come visit inside the walls. So we look forward to meeting new people in 2025 and continuing to grow Full Sail Capital.
I love it. Well, all right, you guys, have a merry, merry Christmas, a happy new year, and we'll talk to you again at the first of the year. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's conversation, don't forget to review and subscribe to your preferred podcast platform. Have a great week. All opinions expressed by the host and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Full Sail Capital. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Clients of Full Sail may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.